The passage of scripture that we have read from this evening records for us the reigns of four kings of Judah over a period of some 22 to 23 years. The kingdom of Judah at this point in history is on a continual downward spiral. And we read the account of the last king of that nation, a man by the name of Zedekiah. His name over in 2 Kings 24 is Mattaniah. He's referred by that name, but it was changed by King Nebuchadnezzar to Zedekiah. And that is the name which is used here in the chapter that we have read together. This man failed to humble himself before the prophet of the Lord. We read in verse 12 that Jeremiah the prophet came to this king and he spoke not the words of man, but the words of God to the king of the nation. And we read that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He did not listen. He did not hearken unto the message that God had given to him via the prophet. The warnings of God came to this man. Warnings to turn from sin. Warnings to turn from his wicked way and to turn unto God for repentance. But he failed to humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. We read in Ezekiel chapter 12 and the verse 13. And Ezekiel was a prophet as well around this particular point in history. And Ezekiel records for us the words of God. Ezekiel 12:13, it says, "My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there." And the Lord gives this prophecy concerning Zedekiah, that he would be taken in the snare, that he would be brought to Babylon, to a land that was foreign, to a land that was an enemy of Israel. He would not see this land, but he would die there. And there comes that question to our minds, how could he die in a land that he does not see? Well, the answer is given in 2 Kings 25, verse 7. It says, "And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. There he died." He did not see it because his eyes had been put out. And so the Lord fulfills the prophecy that he gave to Ezekiel. Zedekiah was blind. He could not see. He could not see the land in which he was carried into captivity, the land in which he died. God does not contradict himself. God does not contradict himself. And that is something that we need to certainly recognize. And sinner, tonight you need to understand that God does not contradict himself. In the Word of God we have a God who is holy and pure and righteous. A God who will punish sin. A God who will make all men, all nations stand before him on the day of judgment to give that account of themselves. But you may say, well, what of the God of grace? And surely you say, God is love. How can God be a God of love and yet punish those who are in sin, those who are wicked, even those who attend church? How can God punish such people? There is no contradiction. God is holy, God is just, God is pure, God is righteous, but God is also love. God is full of grace and mercy. He must punish sin, but he has prepared that way through the Lord Jesus Christ by which men and women can be saved. Our sin must be punished, and it certainly will be punished. Sin is punished by the wrath of God upon a sinner, or by the wrath of God upon the Savior at the cross at Calvary. Sin is punished. But tonight, are you trusting in Christ or are you looking to yourself? If you're looking to yourself, your soul will be lost. But the attributes of God, his righteousness, his holiness, his love, his grace, all work together in the gospel in perfect harmony. There is no contradiction. And judgment will come upon those who have rebelled against the God of heaven. And Zedekiah here had the prophet of God come to him with a message of repentance, a message that was a warning to his soul because of his sin, because of the actions that he committed. And the prophet came, but he failed to humble himself. Judgment came upon him. We've read about that. We've read the judgment of God coming upon the nation as well. But tonight I want us to consider Zedekiah's sin, the cause of his judgment. The cause of his judgment. He faced judgment, but why? And there are a number of things I want you to consider about the sins that he committed. We see, first of all, the individuality of his sin. The individuality of this sin. And these things are basic, these things are fundamental, but we need to emphasize them. We need to speak on them, concerning them, that those who are in their sin will certainly realize that they have no hope in themselves. They will realize that there is nothing that you can do to save yourself. But we see the individuality of his sin. At the commencement of the verse 12, it says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God." He did that which was evil. It was his sin. The sin that he himself committed personally before the God of heaven. His actions, his sin brought the desolation of the land. It brought the wrath of God down upon his head. But it was his sin. His own individual sin before the God of heaven. Yes, when we turn to the scriptural account, and you can read this yourself perhaps later on, when you have to yourselves, you'll see that his predecessors were men who were not godly. His immediate predecessors. They were men who were in their sins. They were men who were wicked. Men who lived after the ways of the world and of the flesh. And Zedekiah followed in their footsteps. But he was not judged for their sin. Certainly there was the influence, yes. But he was judged for his sin. His personal sin before the God of heaven. We're all sinners through Adam. We're all sinners through the fall. But we commit our own sin. We commit our own wickedness against the God of heaven. Each of us sinned in Adam, sinned with Adam in the first transgression in the Garden of Eden. That's what the Shorter Catechism teaches. But we have all sinned personally ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A verse that many of us will know from the days of our youth. And for those who are still in your youth, you'll certainly, hopefully, remember that as well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One of the first Bible verses that I learnt as a young child. We have all sinned. But we all have our own personal sin. But I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. There's a parable given by the people of Israel. And it says in the verse 1, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying," Ezekiel 18 verse 1. Verse 2, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge?" And what the children of Israel were saying really is that the fathers have eaten sour grapes. The fathers have sinned. Our predecessors, our fathers, our grandfathers, those who lived before us have sinned against God. And the desolation in the land, the situation in which we are in, it's not our fault. It's their fault. They have set the children's teeth on edge. But the Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord God," verse 3, "ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." These people were using this proverb to promote the falsehood that they were sinless, that they were pure, that the situation in which they were in was not of their own making. It was the Father's. Blame somebody else. That old attitude that comes in from time to time. Certainly blame somebody else. It was their fault. It wasn't ours. But the Lord says, you can't use that. You're not to use this thing anymore because, yes, while they sinned, you have sinned. The soul that sinneth, the Lord said, it shall die. It shall die. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, we see this proverb again in the scriptures. Jeremiah 31, the verse 29. And it says here, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. His teeth shall be set on edge. And the Lord is clearly saying her that sin, its consequences, its results are upon those who sin themselves. We cannot say that it is the fault of our fathers or the fault of other people. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And sinner tonight, you who have sinned, you who are still dead in trespasses and in sins of your own making, you, if you continue in the way that you are going, you will die. Physically, yes, but also eternally. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Zedekiah partook of the sour grape, and he suffered the consequences. His teeth were set on edge because of his sinful actions against the God of heaven. He couldn't say, blame my fathers, blame those who were before me on the throne. Yes, they had their faults. They were judged according to their sins. But he had his own. He had his own sin. And tonight, each of us have our own sins before the God of heaven. We have our own sinful record. We have our own account. But it says in Romans 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us give account of himself to God. An account must be given individually of ourselves, of our sin. We are held accountable for the sins that we engage in. The sins that others can see. The sins that others can notice. But the sins that maybe they don't. The sins that we commit ourselves in private and secret away from the eyes of humanity. God sees all. God sees all. Be sure your sin will find you out. And on the day of judgment, on that day in which we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, your sin will find you out. Your sin, it is certainly individual. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 21 and the verse 14, the Lord says, but I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. And here we have the Lord saying that he will punish according to what we have done. We mentioned this morning the fruit of the Spirit, those evidences of faith that are found in the believer. But the unbeliever, there's a fruit, as it were, of the flesh. There's evidence that people are in their sins. And in the verses before the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, I believe the fruit of the Spirit commences in. In those verses before, there are the acts of wickedness that sinners do before the God of heaven. The evidence that they are in their sin. And the Lord will punish according to the fruit or the evidence of your doings. And if you are in sin, which the Bible says you are, if you know not Christ as Savior, then you will be punished according to the fruit of your doings, according to your sin, according to your sin. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, the first was penned towards the believer in mind, but it applies certainly to the unsaved, and it should apply to the unsaved, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear. We must all be present. We must all be examined. We must all be judged and searched. That's what the word appear means. We will be judged. We will be examined. And our sinful life will be examined and shown openly. We cannot hide ourselves from God. We will not be judged for the sin of others. We will be judged for our own sin. Others may influence us. Certainly Zedekiah would have been influenced. He influenced others in the land of Israel, in the land of Judah. But he had to give an account for his own sin and they of theirs. He suffered judgment because of his sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And tonight you may be here in this meeting, and if you continue without Christ, your soul will face judgment. Your soul will die eternally because of your sin. There are no buts. There are no maybes. If you continue in sin, your soul will die. The Bible says, and we've said it, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not maybe, not perhaps, not might. It shall die. It shall die. The judgment of God came upon this man because he did not turn, but he continued in his sin. But we see secondly here the increase of his sin. His sin was individual, yes, but it increased. And we see this reading down the chapter. He did evil in the sight of God. He was a young king. He was 1 and 20 years old. He was 21 years old when he became king. There are those here and you're under 21 and you think that 21 perhaps is an old age. And you think that you're old when you reach 21. And then there's those of us who would love to be 21 all over again. But I don't think that that's going to happen, certainly. But he was a young king, at 21 years of age. But he still sinned against God. His youth did not warrant his excusal from this judgment. He had to give an account. He failed to humble himself before the message that was brought in verse 12. We see also in verse 13 that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the instrument that God had used to judge his people for their sin. They were judged by Nebuchadnezzar. He was the instrument God used. But Zedekiah had promised, or he had made an oath to obey this man, to give him his place. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. In Ezekiel 17, it tells us that he went down to Egypt and he attempted to get help from the king of Egypt in standing against Nebuchadnezzar. He turned to Egypt for help. And Israel were in this situation because of their sin. But Zedekiah turns to the world. He turns to the king of Egypt. He turns to those who were also the enemies of God in getting help for his particular problem. He turned to the world, and very often the sinner turns to the world. Very often the sinner continues to get deeper and deeper into sin, looking for peace, looking for happiness, looking for joy and comfort. It cannot be found in the things of this world. It can't be found. Only Christ, as we saw this morning, Christ alone can satisfy. But this man's sin was increased. We read in the verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. They polluted, it says, the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. It then says that they abused, verse 16, they abused, they despised, they mocked the messengers of God. And there came a point in the life of Zedekiah and the nation of Israel as well, a point in time when it says that the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy, till there was no remedy. There were great sins here. There was the sin of idolatry. There was the mockery and despising of the words that the prophet had brought to the king and to Israel as well. But his sin certainly increased. And sinner tonight, you may try and curb your sin. You may try and control it. You may despise some of the sins in this world and never think that one day you'll be involved in them. But that day could come. Sin increases and increases and increases. I remember during my second year of college, there was a snowfall. It's probably the biggest that I've ever seen. And it was during the time of exams, and we needed to have a break, get a bit of fresh air, clear the head, as you say. And myself and another student went out into the lawn at the college, and we decided we would make a snowball. And we kept on rolling it and rolling it and rolling it until it was so big that none of us could move it. I don't know whether a brother here tonight who's a former student ever did that during his exams, but that's what we did. And this snowball was sitting in the lawn of the college for a few weeks after it was built, and certainly for a good number of days after the snow had melted. But it was so big that we could not move it. And sin is like that. And time again, the preacher can emphasize that sin is like a snowball. It starts off small, and we engage in sins that are small, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger over time. And we get deeper and deeper into sin. And there comes the point that we cannot stop it. We cannot do anything at all. It increases so much. We are lost in sin. And there's nothing that we can do ourselves to move that burden of sin. But our sin certainly increases. But notice the end of verse 16 again. The wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. There was a point in time. A point ordained, as it were, by God. When the sin of this man, the sin of this nation, it reached a certain point and it was no more. That was the end. There was no remedy. There was nothing that could be done. They had went so far. They had went so far. And they had crossed the line. They rebelled. They mocked. They abused the prophets. They had no respect for the word of God. They did not listen to the pleas from the prophet to repent. And they marched over the line. And it was too late. Too late to call upon God for forgiveness. Too late to trust in Christ for salvation. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 21, we'll see the evidence of this. Jeremiah chapter 21. And what takes place here is that Zedekiah sends a man to Jeremiah the prophet. And the situation had developed. He had turned to Egypt for help against Nebuchadnezzar. But now Nebuchadnezzar has come with his army to besiege Jerusalem. And there is nothing that Zedekiah himself could do, humanly speaking, to relieve the situation. It was out of his hands. He could not save his kingdom himself. And at that point, he turns to God. The day of judgment, as it were, had arrived. The time had arrived. But he turns to God. And the Lord gave a message. Verse 4. Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in the hands of Babylon. No, that are in your hands. The end of the verse. I will assemble them into the midst of this city. Verse 5, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. He went to God hoping there would be deliverance, hoping that the Lord would step into the situation, his last chance as he thought. But it was too late. He had already crossed the line. Judgment is coming. Sinner, tonight you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But if you do not trust Christ now for repentance, if you do not listen to the warnings that are given to you, and you cross over without the Savior, then it will be too late. Those words will come to you, and I myself will fight against you, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Zedekiah crossed the line. The time of judgment had come. It was too late to repent. A last ditch attempt to save himself. It was too late. The time is coming, sinner, when your sin will increase so much. You'll cross over the line, and on the time of judgment, the day of judgment, it will be too late. That time for you, certainly we could say, it could be in 40 years if you're younger here, it could be in less. And to make us think upon it, what if this was the last night on earth for one of us, for some of us, for you? There have been meetings in the past that I have been in, and they were the last meeting for some person. Thankfully, they knew the Lord as their Savior, but that was the last time they were in the house of God. But what of you, if it was your last meeting? If the day of God's judgment was drawing nigh for your soul, and it was tonight, where would your soul be? Where would your soul be? Because on the judgment day, it is too late to call for mercy. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord, the scriptures say, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That time is now. That time is now. It is not later this evening. It is not tomorrow. It is not next week. That time may not be there for you. The time is now. Now is the accepted time. Now, there is a great urgency in these things. We know not what a day may bring forth. The time is now. Then thirdly, finally, we see the insubordination in his sin. The insubordination in his sin. We see this in verse 12. We've mentioned this throughout the message. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He dismissed the authority of the word of God. He dismissed and despised the authority with which God spoke to him. And now, Jeremiah was the prophet of God. Jeremiah was the one that received this abuse. Jeremiah was the one who, it says that he wasn't showing the respect. Zedekiah humbled not himself before the prophet. But the respect, the humility was not to be shown to Jeremiah. He was but a man. He was but the preacher. It was to be shown to the one he represented. It was to be shown to the Lord. The Lord came with the message, and because Jeremiah was the messenger, he was to be respected as well. He was to be listened to. The preacher comes with a message from God. There is no doubt about that. The faithful servant of the Lord will bring a message, not of man, but of God. And sinner, perhaps you've heard the message of the gospel time and time again. But by rejecting it, by walking out, by not trusting in Christ as Savior, you're not humbling yourself, you're not showing respect, you're not doing what you should be doing. This man was the king, yet he was expected, as the king of the nation, to listen to the word of God, to listen to the message that God brought to him. He was king, but he had a duty to listen to God. We may not be kings and queens and princes. We may not have any royal blood whatsoever. We might have, I don't know. But there is still a duty binding upon us all to listen to what God has to say. For the child of God, certainly, But sinner, for you, you must listen to what God says. He comes in love and compassion and grace by bringing the gospel to you. Week after week, time after time, the day will come when the last message of the gospel that you will hear will take place before you. But have you listened? Have you made ready for eternity? He despised the preaching. We read how he treated the preachers in the verse 16. He did not submit himself to the authority of God. He did not submit himself to the authority of God. Because of that, he did not repent. And his sin led to judgment. Sinner, if you do not listen to the word of God, you do not repent, your sin will lead you to judgment, just like it led Zedekiah. Just like it led Zedekiah. One day it will be too late. There is no believing. There's no repentance. There's no conversions in the grave. There is no preacher to speak to you. Whenever you leave this scene of time, there are no meetings that you can attend to hear the gospel time after time after time. In the grave, it is too late. And there is a time coming when it will be too late for those of you if you continue without Christ. The time is now. The time to submit to the authority of God is now. It is now. This king, and as we close, we'll say that this king lost his throne. He lost his sight. He lost his life eventually in captivity because of his sin. And that will happen to us spiritually. We will lose our lives eternally because of our sin. Because of your sin, you will lose your life eternally. You can lose your soul if you're outside of Christ. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator. It's good to read books. It's good to read concerning the men of old and Matthew Henry. There is much to learn from him and to glean from him if you study the scriptures with his commentary beside you. But he said this concerning Zedekiah. With this we'll close. If he had but made God his friend, that would have prevented the ruin. If he had but made God his friend, that would have prevented the ruin. How could he have done that? By listening to the prophet. By telling Jeremiah to speak. By listening to what he had to say. But not just being a hearer, but being a doer. By hearkening unto the message. By listening to God's requirements. By repenting of sin. That would have led not to ruin, but to the restoration of the kingdom from desolation. It would have led to a great reign if he had followed the Lord. Kings had repented in the past. Manasseh repented of sin. But Zedekiah did not listen. If he had but made God his friend, he would have prevented the ruin. Tonight, sinner, you can make God your friend by repenting of sin. By realizing the need that you have and turning to the Savior, the only one who can save, and by trusting in him for repentance. The Bible says clearly, the words of the Apostle Paul, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Repent and believe the gospel. May you do so tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.